Welcome to A Flock of Donkeys with your host, Adam Emmert.
And, you know,
and Jared Tim.
I'm going to say right now, I disagree with it, but it's really accurate.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to A Flock of Donkeys, your Broncos and Seahawks podcast. I am your co-host, Adam Emmert. Sit next to me, good buddy, Jared Tim.
What's happening, man? I'm doing all right.
Yeah, you're doing all right?
I'm still trying to get my voice back from the weekend, but...
You know, I'll apologize up front, folks. If we sound a little rugged today, it's because we participated in the 58th annual boat float, which is a two-day raft trip down the Yellowstone River, which we got at the Yellowstone, much like a Broncos executive, drunk and running into shit.
But we weren't arrested, so there's a plus.
But it was a really good time. It absolutely was. So, yeah.
We're still working that one off.
Yeah, I don't know that you can get an RUI, rafting under the influence.
No.
I don't think that's a charge. But
I'm not motorized. I'm definitely not motorized.
No, we were definitely not on a motorized vehicle. But,
we're going to give our best here.
Today I think we're just going to start out, get right into the chicken scratch segment, start talking some Hawks, but what we're going to do for each team...
Save the best for last, we'll do the Broncos last.
However you want to say it, because I don't even have the energy to argue about that today. We're going to go ahead and go over the schedule for each of our teams today. Maybe we have a couple other little things to talk about. Like, I just want to chat quickly about the Clady extension,
Get to 52 million.
Things like that. So, anyway, starting out with chicken scratch here. First thing first I want to talk about was Russell Wilson released a picture yesterday on his Instagram, and this is fucking hilarious. I love this guy. Thank you, Russell Wilson. You did exactly what I've always wanted to do to Colin Kaepernick, and you did it for me. Thank you so much. And what he did was, him and Kaepernick were filming a commercial
for the Madden game.
Exactly. And apparently, after Russell threw a touchdown pass on Colin Kaepernick, he looks over at him and he kisses the old bicep. And you got to see the picture because Kaepernick's face is funny. Like, he's just looking at him with just sheer disbelief.
So I got a question for you, though.
Yeah.
You like this because he's making fun of him.
Yes.
But do you hate it because now... your two quarterbacks are buddies playing Madden together?
They're not buddies.
They look like buddies. If you're playing a video game together, you might be happy with each other.
Are they playing a video game together because it's on their free time and they're just chilling? Are they playing a video game together because they're doing a paid promotion and they're both putting
They're doing that, but the commercial's going to make it look like they were sitting there buddy-buddy. That's what they're paid to do.
Commercials make all sorts of things look like all sorts of stuff. It makes all those drug company things look like they're good for you. And then you listen to the guy rattle off things like, causes anal bleeding. All right. Yeah,
Kaepernick and Russell Wilson, good buddies.
They're not good buddies. And the reason
they are friends.
You know they're not
good
buddies.
To the end.
You know they're not good buddies because, we mock each other in good fun, but I don't think this was in good fun. So, thank you, Russell, for mocking Kaepernick openly for all of us Hawk fans. I'm sick of that fuck.
And befriending him.
Yeah. The other thing I want to talk about quickly before we get into the schedule is Russell Okun. And I love Russell. Like, he's an amazing left tackle. But, dude, don't be running with the Bulls. That's right, Jared.
He went
running with the Bulls here earlier this year. I don't want my second most important position on my team running with the Bulls.
Why does everybody think they got to run with the Bulls nowadays?
I think
who was that linebacker for the Bengals? Donnie Jones. When he had that...
Devontae Jones, yeah.
That show on the Travel Channel. Yeah. He ran with the Bulls and did all sorts of shit. Now every fucking NFL player wants to do this shit.
Oh,
no, don't. Just wait till you're done with your career. He did.
Exactly. Wait till you're done with your career. Can't be risking that.
Didn't Rex Ryan run with the Bulls?
Well,
I
think he waddled with the Bulls.
Oh, yeah, a couple of times. He had to get back out and then go back in.
Exactly.
He turkey necked his way down there.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. So, Russell, please don't run with crazy animals
anymore.
Dude,
the Bulls would run from him. The robot probably coming after you? Yeah. I don't fucking think so.
So, Russell Okung, okay. So, going on to the schedule. And, looking at the Hawks schedule, a couple things that really stood out for me. First was just where their strength of schedule is ranked. It's ranked as the 11th hardest schedule in the NFL. Now, I'll start out by saying this about strength of schedule. It's not a predictor, per se, of what your actual strength of schedule is going to be. Every team rises and falls next year. It's based on last year's record. But it is a mild indicator as to, how your schedule is going to be. I mean, it gets you in a ballpark anyways,
What else can you do that'll get you closer, really? You can go and look at the teams and kind of predict what they're going to do.
Right.
And then go over your strength of schedule after you predicted their records, but this is accurate enough.
Right. So, Seahawks have the 11th ranked schedule, 11th hardest. in the NFL this year. You know, and that's close-ish to middle of the pack. It's obviously, you know, in the upper half of things, you know, between 10 and 15. But, you know, I look at the schedule, and honestly, it's not so much the teams they play. It's about how the schedule is laid out to me that makes this seem a little difficult. I look at our schedule, and the first half of our schedule is tough, mainly in this regard. We only have 3 home games out of our first 8 games. And that's difficult, especially when...
That's a tough stretch to start the season.
Exactly, and especially when you have a team that plays really well at home. I mean, obviously, we were 8-0 at home last year, and that's a big thing. So to start out your season with 5 of your first 8 games on the road, that's tough.
But this bodes well for you in the end of the season.
Exactly.
And where it really counts. You just got to try and win some of those games at the beginning. Hope it takes you through.
Exactly. So one of the things that I look at with this is, as a fan... And as I would urge other Seahawks fans to do, I wouldn't freak out if the team starts out 3-3, you know, 4-2. I mean, it could be a little bit of a struggle to start out.
You got a tough couple of games. I'm looking at it right now. You got the Niners. You got the Texans. Those are pretty tough games at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I mean, and even opening at Carolina.
At Houston, too.
Yeah, at Houston. And the other thing is, with all these road games that we start out with in the first 8 weeks, 3 of them are that dreaded 10 a.m. start.
Yeah.
And, you know, history shows that the team doesn't perform well at 10 a.m. I don't understand how this can actually be a thing.
How was it last year, though? Because I remember you were talking about this last year, and it didn't seem to affect you guys too much.
It did. I mean, we lost to Miami when we started there. I can't remember what the start time was for the Carolina game. We did win in Washington.
That's true.
Yeah. Although I don't remember.
And that was later in the season. Well,
I don't know what time that game started, to be honest. But whatever. Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like that 10 a.m. start thing is a little bit of a myth. I mean, for example...
Some games you just don't play as well, and those could just have happened to have fallen on the 10 a.m. games.
Sure, and I think there's an easy way to get around that if you're a head coach. For example, like, you know, Jared, the last thing I am is a morning person. I think it's an aptly titled state of the day. It's a state of morning. Like, I fucking hate the mornings. But when we do jobs and sawmills, we have to be up at the butt crack of dawn at, like, 5 a.m., well, by the time 10 a.m. rolls around, which is when I would just be finally starting to get my, you know, brain working.
You're
on a regular
mid-season
day,
form.
I'm in mid-season form. So why don't the coaches just go ahead and wake the players up just fucking
early?
I don't
know why doesn't the coaches do that.
I doesn't know either.
I'm sure that they have their system. I'm sure it's in place for them to work and their bodies to be prepared for a 10 a.m. start. I don't think that's an issue whatsoever. If you look at the trainers and nutritionists that they have working with these NFL teams, they're not overlooking something like that.
I wouldn't
it's
think
just,
so.
I think it's just a random freaking fluke why you guys don't play as well in those games.
There's people,
it's just completely random.
There's people far smarter than me that are looking into this. So,
yeah.
To start out the season, week 1, at Carolina, the 10 a.m. start, Cam Newton and the Panthers.
That's going to be a tough game.
This strikes me a lot like the Cardinals game last year for the home opener, where I just was... How cocky was I going to that game?
Oh, God.
I thought we were going to roll over the Cardinals like there was going
out of stuff. I thought we were
going to
steamroll the Steelers, too, and it didn't happen.
And it didn't happen. You know, that first game, you know, you're still working into things. I mean, I don't know that a team really finds its rhythm until week 5, week 6 a lot of times, too.
It depends on how long your team's been together.
You bet. So... I'm a little concerned about that. That could go either way for me.
You're saying this may be a week 1 trap game?
It could be a week 1 trap game.
And who knows what Cam Newton's going to do at this point.
Hard telling not knowing
with
Cam.
I think he's going to be okay, though. That's my opinion.
You know, I think he'll have another solid year. I really do.
Yeah.
I really do.
Last year, he really wasn't that bad. His stats were pretty similar to his first year. He just got off to a rocky start, and people jumped all over him, and then they kept not winning games. But his stats weren't that bad.
Exactly.
If you want to go with numbers.
You know... This will probably be the healthiest the Panthers are all year, too, you know, kind of going into things. And,
yeah.
You know, they've got a good defense when they're healthy.
Yep.
And that game worries me. We could easily
it's a tough game.
We could easily be 0-1 coming out of
You'll see what kind of team you got there as far as their toughness.
Absolutely. Well, week 2 features a primetime game, Sunday Night Football, Seahawks at home against the 49ers.
This is another one of those huge matchups to start the year off. We got a couple of those games, but this is definitely one of them for you guys.
This is gigantic. No, so not only is the 12th man going to be trying to set the Guinness Book of World Records of being the loudest stadium ever during that game, but this is a must-win. This is an absolute must-win to me. I really, and it's weird to say that a Week 2 game is going to count, you know, that heavily, but obviously it's against your rival. Obviously it's, you know, an in-division game. obviously it's your one home game against them.
Yeah.
I
don't know if this is so much a must-win because you got plenty of time throughout the regular season to retaliate and come back against them in Week 14. So I mean, it'll set the tone for the division until you guys play them again Week 14. You definitely want to be on that upper hand, but I think if you lose this game, you go into the latter half of your season where you have more home games and you play the 49ers, the Cardinals, and the Rams again with a chip on your shoulder.
Well, I mean, absolutely. You definitely,
if you lose that game.
If you lose that game, for sure, but... It's going to be difficult if you start out, you know, 0-2, 1-1, you know, with an in-division loss. I mean, we start the beginning of the year last year, we lost all of our divisional games, man. And, God, if we just take care of one of those, you know, against the Rams or the Cardinals, teams that
makes
we ought to be.
Getting into the playoffs a lot easier.
Oh, not only does it make it get in the playoffs, we win the division. We have a home game, you know, and it just makes all the difference. I think this is a gigantic game. It's obviously prime time. It's going to be the big featured matchup of the week.
It's big for your standings, because if you look at your schedule, you could, I mean, I'm not saying a doomsday prophecy here, but you could be 1-4, 2-5, kind of to start the season.
It easily could happen, and that's what I'm trying to say, you know, to Hawks fans, too, is don't freak out if we have a slow start to the season, because the last 2 years, too, under Carroll, pretty much every year under Carroll, we've started out slow and finished strong, so...
Well, last year, you still had your rookie quarterback. You didn't exactly know what he was going to do yet.
So. No. And so this year could be just exactly the same way. So,
and you got some suspensions to deal with.
Oh, God. And that's the other thing going into this Niners game. I mean, who knows if Chris Clemens will be back. He might be back.
Bruce is gone.
Bruce obviously is not going to be there. But we'll see, I guess. I mean, we'll know a lot more coming out of the Panthers game, obviously, going into the Niners game. But I think that's one that we're going to need to get early. Yeah. Which leads me to week three, Gus Bradley's return to the clink, and that's with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because I think Blaine Gabbert's going to be the quarterback there, and that's pretty much all you need to know.
I like it being there, and I like playing Blaine Gabbert.
Sure.
Win.
I truly hope that every Seahawks fan cheers immensely the first time Trufant steps out onto the field.
I'm sure they will. They have no reason to hate him.
Yeah, you know, kind of a good homecoming there, so that should be a win. To me, that should be a win against the lowly Jaguars. So that leads us to...
How many syllables did you put in that one?
All the syllables, Jared. All of them. So going into week four, we're on the road yet again in Houston for the Texans. And I think you have a little more respect for the Texans than I do as a whole.
I do, because they got one guy in the middle of that fucking line that'll just kill you. He will disrupt your offense all day. You can't overlook J.J. Watt, especially that early in the season, man. He is that good. He kills offensive lines.
He's a Frankenstein, man.
They don't know how to defend him. And so Russell might get a little bit flushed. The only reason is they do have a solid team. They got a solid run game and a quarterback who can capitalize off of it. That's why I just view the Texans always as a tough game.
Solid,
you know,
game.
I'm never like, well, we'll win that game. If I'm going over my overall schedule trying to predict what our record will be, I count the Texans as a loss just because.
Interesting.
Especially in Houston.
So, do you feel like there's a significant home field advantage when they're in Reliant?
Oh, absolutely. I think those players are comfortable playing there. Now, I'm not saying either of us will lose these games. I think that we can beat the Texans. I definitely think we have a better football team.
Yeah.
But, God, you just never know. They're a quality football team.
They built
a good team.
They're solid.
Kubiak built that. You know, he was
a former Bronco backup. But
I never overlooked them.
You know, they are a solid team.
If you were playing them at home, I'd say, yeah, you guys are going to win that game.
Yeah.
You're playing them in Texas. Man.
That's a toss-up to me, man.
It's tough.
Right? You know, and especially early in the year, should be fucking hot.
Yeah.
Like, all of that. So, and again, the dreaded 10 a.m. start. So, hard telling not knowing there, I guess. But that leads me into week five, where we are at Indy against Andrew Luck. You're going to see, you know, it's going to be the big battle of the second-year quarterback.
It will.
Blah, blah, blah. To me, I feel like the Colts totally rode that Chuck Strong thing, you know, for like 6 weeks.
Yeah, that went on
way
too long.
Yeah, I don't... They didn't do much in free agency. I wasn't a big fan of their draft. I feel like they really overspent on some guys in free agency.
Yeah.
And I think the Colts are not going to be better this year. I think that's a team that takes a step back.
They went 11-5 last year. I think they'll do that or 10-6 this year. All the better I think they are as a team, because I don't think they improved overall very much. Andrew Luck's going to get better. I think he's a real deal.
Sure.
But other than that, I don't see where they improved much.
To me, they're 8-8 and 9-7.
9 or 7.
Because you could be either.
A walkie-talkie.
You could be either. Yeah, 9 or 7. Come in, breaker. So, no, but they could...
Did you drink red beer already?
Yeah, I did. We're doing this a little earlier than normal, folks. So, yeah, we should have done a red beer before this. So, I think that's a win, though. I think that's a game we take. Really do.
We play in Indy, too, this year. I'm not too worried
about it. Oh, yeah. That'll be interesting. Peyton's homecoming. We'll get to that. So, that brings us to week 6. Home game against the Titans. This will be fun. Jake Locker comes back to the Pacific Northwest.
He's not nothing to fear, though. I wasn't sold on him coming out of college. I'm still not. Yeah. I don't think he's their deal.
No, I don't either.
I think Hasselback could get you more wins than Jake Locker still at this point.
I'd say about the same. Only because Hasselback is only going to actually play in half the games that you would want him to start in. You know, he might.
Well, that's good because Jake Locker gets hurt anyways.
And so does Hasselback. So who's their third stringer? That might be an important question.
They're one to two for
the Titans. But this is a team that I believe that we can definitely beat, especially at home. That is our third home game of the first half of the season. So we'll see how that goes. That should be a win.
Yeah.
Well, the
Titans were 6-10 last year. And what did they really do this offseason to give them more than 2 to 3 more wins?
Other than Kenny Britt coming back, maybe that receiver they took out of Baylor makes another step this year. Yeah. He was all right last year. I don't know. I know you're really down on Jake Locker.
Well, I'm not super. I think he's a quality backup.
I think he can be a middle of the pack NFL starter. I think that's his.
It'll be interesting to see because he's going to get all the opportunities in the world with the Titans.
This is the year, right? Yeah. He's got to come through, or they're looking for another quarterback next year.
So he's basically got 16 weeks to figure this out.
At best. So win there, Titans at home. Week 7, in the desert against the Redbirds. And, it's an interesting game. It's a Thursday night game. So we'll be coming in there on a short week. But it's after being at home with the Titans, so the travel's not super far. Even with the short week of preparation, I think we eat Carson Palmer for fucking breakfast.
Yeah, he's going to throw a lot of yards between the 20s.
Oh, absolutely.
But, they'll score 9 points.
If that, yeah, I mean, I just...
Yeah, at the most.
Rashard Mendenhall is not the back that he once was. We talked a bit about the other teams in the last podcast.
Yeah. The Cardinals is they didn't get that much better to me. Carson Palmer is that kind of quarterback. I dealt with him just recently. And so, if you have a weak secondary and you can't stop a run worth of shit, basically he's going to tear apart a bad defense, but still will score touchdowns.
Right.
He doesn't have that cannon in the red zone to get it done.
No.
And he's never had a strong enough run game to get it done either. So I don't think the Cardinals are any better of a team than the Raiders are this year. I mean, they got more talent, but I don't know if they're a better team at this point. Wisenhunt's gone.
Yeah. And I don't know that they got better with Bruce Arians, to be honest.
I don't think so. I think getting rid of Wisenhunt's a big mistake.
Yeah.
Has he ever had a quarterback there? No.
Plus, they got rid of their D coordinator, too, Ray Horton. He was a goddamn good defensive coordinator. So,
yeah.
I don't know if their defense would be quite as good. And obviously, Palmer's a step up from what they had. But
yeah. I mean, you still got the fit. You still got some good players there. Patrick Peterson's there. But
yeah.
I don't think they're a quality team.
I would like to think that's a win.
Consensus.
Consensus win.
But the next week.
This brings us to week 8, and we'll have even an extra day to prepare for this because it's a Monday night game on ESPN.
Ooh, so you go from Thursday to Monday. That's like a bye week.
Yeah, exactly. Man. It's like having an extra bye week. So that's something that I really like about our schedule. But going into St. Louis. And
that's a tough game.
As we discussed in the last podcast, I think the Rams are going to be the second best team in the NFC West this year.
We both had them there, actually.
Oh, yeah. And, tough crowd. They're following the Rams rules,
That is ridiculous. I couldn't even believe when you told me about that.
Oh, God. Unbelievable. But
they're a quality team. But, yeah, we discussed them in the last podcast. It's just
Rams are better.
They're trying to fill a lot of holes, and I think they've done that.
And that D-line is tenacious. We're going to have to be better up front. I hope to Christ James Carpenter is still healthy and playing by that point because we're going to need him. This is a dogfight. This is one of those games that can go either way to me. It genuinely concerns me.
Well, Rams beat all the teams in the division last year.
Mm-hmm. Didn't lose. Yeah, only lost to the Hawks.
Yep, and tied the Niners now.
And fuck, man, it was close in that last game of the
season.
They're
kind of a team built to take your guys' teams on.
Oh, yeah.
You and the 49ers.
Oh, yeah. No, you know, somebody made a point, too, that they drafted and brought in all these small, quick wide receivers because of the big corners that we have there in Seattle. The smaller wide receivers are the ones that give us the most fits because they're so quick. And so they decided, well, fuck it. We'll put three and four on the field at a time. Best of luck covering with your big
guys. Yeah, they were smart doing that. They realized what they were up against. Teams are just built to beat their divisions. That's pretty much it.
Well, yeah.
And it's incredible how you put these things together like a chess match.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like you're looking at the size and strength of your receivers, whether they're big, stretch the field, or whether they're these little quick slot guys that can give you a double move.
Yeah. So this game legitimately worries me. I think Russ will definitely be better than he was last year in St. Louis. That was a weird game.
That was a bad game. I remember watching that. That was just one of those, what the fuck?
Really, only one of his three picks was sort of his fault. The other two were, you know, McCoy just falls down.
I remember
down.
Some of the commentators were even saying, oh, Russell
Wilson.
He has his limitations. I'm like, those were bullshit.
Well, that was Mike Martz, and he's the most insufferable broadcaster of all time. Fuck that.
Seven-step drop.
Yeah.
Mike Martz.
So, after the Monday night game, you know, short week, but we get the Buccaneers at home. And I think the Buccaneers are going to be one of the league's worst teams this next year.
Well, and it's after the first half of the season. They always fall off anyways, dramatically. They can't beat a fucking team in the second half of the season. And you're playing them week 9, I think.
Shiano rides his dudes way too hard. Unless he's learned his lessons, which I doubt he has. They're going to be burning out. And, you know, I mean, Darrell Reeves coming in, that's great. I don't know. He's coming off an ACL. Everybody just is like, oh, he's going to be great again. Like, they just assume that everybody's great off an ACL anymore. I just still don't buy that to be the case.
But not everybody heals like Adrian Peterson does.
Fuck no. So, I don't
know. It's not like it's Tommy John surgery.
The Bucs in Seattle, that's a win.
That's a win, yeah.
That's a win. Freeman will crumple under that pressure.
He's not going to beat you on the road when you're at home. He's not going to win that game.
I don't think so. I don't think he has it in him. This brings me to week 10, Jared. At Atlanta.
Rematch.
I'm salivating for this game. Like, this is one of the big games that I star on the schedule, and, you know, I know it's not a division.
It sucks you gotta wait that long. I get my rematch week 1.
I'm okay with it being, you know, week 10, because that's the point where, like, you've settled in, you know who your team is, you know, we've probably at that point figured out exactly how we're gonna use Percy Harvin, you know, things like that. We're gonna go in there locked and loaded. And,
you know what's weird about this Falcons team right now? Is all the hoopla's about how Steven Jackson has completed their team. Steven Jackson, I think, I love Steven Jackson, but he is a lesser Michael Turner at this point.
Let me give you a quick...
So I don't see how they are any better with him.
Jared, he is basically a 3 yards in a cloud of dust back.
Yeah, 3 yards.
3 yards! He was ranked 24th in the league in yards per attempt this last year.
Yeah.
God, I looked a few of these up, and I wish I had written them down, but he's a mediocre back at best. And you saying
he'd be a short down guy.
He's fine. If you're not expecting a guy to break anything, then he's your guy. But he's not the Steven Jackson that we're all accustomed to. He just turned 30.
Uh-huh.
And all the Falcons fans act like they won the goddamn running back lottery. And it's
and
just,
I don't get it. Have they not been watching him play for the last 3 seasons in his decline?
Have you not?
He's still quality. He can still do what you want him to if what you want is 3 yards of carry.
It's like Hawks fans being super excited when Edgerrin James came in. Like, you know, it was just done. I mean,
what do you expect?
These backs hit their 30s, and it's like instantly over. It's one of the weirdest phenomena.
It's almost how a lot of us felt about Willis McGahee. We're like, oh, we get him from Baltimore. Okay, nobody. We're just thinking, cool, maybe a third down kind of guy, short yardage. And he, you know, luckily he just rejuvenated himself. And he was rolling.
But that is
the
exception.
Steven Jackson doing that.
Yeah.
He's been beat to shit his entire career.
Yeah.
You know, he's been durable. I won't knock him on that. I won't really knock him on any part of his game. He's just at that point in his career, he's not a threat.
Oh, I've always been a big fan of Steven Jackson, and I think he's been an excellent back, and he's one of the all-timers, like, no doubt, like, you won't get any argument from me, but
yeah,
he's not who we think he is. He's not who we think he is!
Who is he?
Yeah, so yeah. I think
the robot wins that game.
I think we could... I don't think Russell Wilson's losing there again.
No.
I think he exercised those demons.
I think once was enough.
I think...
Once was enough for him.
I think it sticks in his craw that the last pass of his season was an interception to Julio Jones in the end zone. Like, I really do. This game, I think we win by 2 to 3 scores. I'm saying that right now.
I don't think you will, because I don't think you're going to stifle their offense that much. I think the Falcons are going to score points all year long. They'll keep up with you. You guys are going to win the game. But even when we play them, I know they're going to keep the points up.
I think that's ordinarily the Falcons do that. I just think this is going to be one of those weird, quirky games where one team is just way more fired up than the other, and it gets out of hand, a little bit out of hand early. And
I don't know if being fired up in the NFL means much anymore. All these guys are crazy and fired up. They're at home.
There's certain games that some teams get more up for than others, and you see it. For example, the 49ers game at home last year.
Yeah.
You know,
we'll see what happens in that game. I don't think you're going to win
by a couple
scores.
That's my bold prediction. Don't be blowing up my bold prediction.
I am going to blow it up. That's a quality team you're going against.
I know.
There.
That's why it's a bold prediction, Jerry.
Oh, shit.
So that brings me to week 11 at home against the Vikings. Vikings West versus Vikings East. At home.
Man, Percy's going to want to kill that team.
Oh, good God. You know he wants them You know he wants him to throw a little bubble screen out towards the sideline where Leslie Frazier's standing just so he can hit him.
Like, see, I don't think his beef is with Leslie Frazier. I think it started with Brad Childress and then it escalated to the front office. I don't think he had ever too much of a problem with Leslie Frazier, just carried over to that.
So you
think Brad Childress was Percy Harvin's undoing, man. I think they hated each other.
Oh, well, that went without question. They all hated
Everybody
Brad Childress.
Everybody hated Childress.
As a head coach, you know? Yeah. So you think the beef is more with ownership?
Oh, yeah, I think that's where it kind of went before Brad Childress was fired.
Interesting.
So I think he had a beef with them far before that started.
A reporter had asked Leslie Frazier not long ago, you know, what happened with the Percy Harvin thing and blah, blah, blah. And he just kind of smiled and he said, one day we'll write the book on that one. So there must have been a lot going on there.
I think on both sides. I don't think one's more guilty than the other.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm not saying Percy Harvin isn't a bit of a head case.
Yeah.
But you can exacerbate that.
He has had
that.
A long history of it since high school.
Yeah, that is true. But Vikings at home, Russell Wilson beats Christian Ponder every time for life.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know on that, I'm pretty sure.
And he's Christian Ponder.
Yeah.
If they're even still going with him at that point. Who knows if he just...
Oh, then it's Matt Castle? I still feel pretty good about my chances.
I'd love to play Matt Castle.
So, yeah, I think that's a win there. And then, week 12, we get our bye, which I really like. I like having the bye, like, right at the three-quarter mark of the season. Gives you a little time to get healthy. All that.
You're going to need it because the next five games is a gauntlet.
This is where the schedule gets brutal. I mean, for the last five, just like you said, we'll have an extra week of preparation. And we all know the separation is in the preparation to welcome in the Saints on Monday Night Football.
We're going to be better this year, a lot better than they were last year.
Absolutely. This is a tough fucking game. This could easily be a loss.
At least it's at home, though.
At least it's at home. That gives us, obviously, all the advantages the 12th man has to offer. But I see this as being a very competitive game. Coming down the last couple minutes, midget quarterbacks square off.
It'll be an interesting game. It'll be kind of fun to see where the Saints are at this point in the schedule. You know, maybe they don't come up and make that next step as far as where they were last year. So who knows? I mean, if they're the Saints of old, I think it's going to be a hell of a game. But we'll see where they're at.
I don't know that they'll be in their Super Bowl form from a couple years ago.
No, because what has their defense done?
Nothing.
Their defense has got gaping holes all over it. We killed their defense last year.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't even a contest.
No, their defense was atrocious.
And so at home, I don't know if this is much of a matchup. I think they're going to put up some points, but they don't have the defense to win this game.
I think it's a win for us. I do think it's a close game, though, when it's all said and done.
Mm-hmm.
But a tough game nonetheless.
It's December 2nd.
December 2nd.
That might be just a slushy mess.
Yeah, dome team coming into the cold. That's a good point.
You know.
I mean that weather could be a factor there. Absolutely. So that brings us to week 14 in Ninerville, down at Candlestick Park.
That's the same thing as the time before, man. We'll see who's got a bigger chip on their shoulder, and we'll see where the two teams are at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I can't predict these games. I'd love to sit up on my high horse and say we're going to beat the fuck out of the Niners every time we play them.
You don't know.
That's just arrogant and dumb.
Well, and their defense is still going to be good.
God, so good.
They're that ageless Pittsburgh defense. That's kind of, they're going to linger for a while, I think, like Pittsburgh did.
They'll be good as long as Justin Smith continues to be good.
Yeah.
You know, on the front seven. You know,
we'll
he may fall
he
off any
up
year.
Throughout the season too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, he did get injured towards the end of the season the first time in like forever, but
yeah. But it happened.
Yeah, that's obviously going to be a huge game. I mean, for the division lead could be on the line there.
Yeah, well, and it could be in the rest of your season, too. You guys finish out with a lot of divisional games.
Exactly. So week 15, December 15th, at the New York Football Giants. I hate this game.
I'm tired of trying to predict what's going to happen in Giants games. Because you don't know what fucking team's going to show up.
You don't know if you're getting good Eli, bad Eli, whatever.
You don't know what's going to happen.
But in general, it's good Eli towards the end of the season.
It is.
But you don't know. Victor Cruz could get comfortable after his new contract. I mean,
I don't know.
It's tough.
I mean, I think you win the game.
I don't know, man. 10 a.m. start in the Meadowlands.
I don't know. It just depends on who's fucking playing.
The Giants are one of those enigma teams, you know. But I think it's a win that we need to get. Like, you know, those are one of those games that we ought to win.
Yeah.
And if you don't take care of business on those, you're on the outside looking
in. It's a quality team that if you want to be a Super Bowl team, you need to win that game. That's basically how the last half of your season is. If you're that Super Bowl team, everybody's predicting you to
be. You need to finish.
These are all the games you got
to
win.
You need to finish. That brings us to December 22nd. We finish out with our last two games at home. Bring the Redbirds into the clink. We're going to crush them.
Yeah, my prediction here is you've played the Saints, the Niners, the Giants. You're going to get the Cardinals and just run away with it. It's not even going to be funny. You could have a lot at stake here. You have a lot of guys that maybe are coming back from injury, or a lot of guys, as far as the depth chart goes at this point in the season, maybe you do have a comfortable lead. You want to get these guys a look on the field. I still think you blow them out even then. But I think there's going to be a lot on the line. I think you guys.
I think we see Drew Stanton at quarterback at that point for the Cardinals. No way Carson Palmer stays healthy.
He's just not
going to
survive this division.
No. No. With the way these defenses are built in this division, they're in the way the Cardinals' offensive line is built, there's no way, and with the way Bruce Arians throws those deep passes,
yeah,
there's no effing way Carson Palmer stays healthy the whole goddamn year.
Well, think about it. He barely survived the Broncos. But outside of the Broncos last year, there wasn't a huge pass rush coming from the rest of our division. You guys have a lot of it coming from every other team. I mean, you got the Rams, a big rush from the middle, everywhere. So that's going to be tough.
Up
the middle and everywhere.
Yeah.
Coming to Carson Culpepommel.
From
every fucking angle.
Why
man.
Is that name impossible for me to say? For like the last 4 years, it sounds like somebody just punches me in the mouth every time.
Probably
because like,
you already wrote him out of the league, so you're surprised every time you got to say it. You've hated Carson Palmer for a while.
It's not that I hate him. I actually liked Carson Palmer, the quarterback, you know, back when, before he grew out his knee and his elbow. Like, I mean, it's just over for him. I mean, I'm sorry. It's kind of like...
But I got to give him credit for mastering his strengths, though. I mean, he will still do good between the 20s.
Yeah.
And thank God he's got a good kicker who's responsible for most of their points.
Yeah, because they're going to fucking
need him. So as far as what he's working with, I think he's doing a good job for what he's got left.
Yeah, I mean, he manages what he has left in the tank.
You don't
fine.
Fear him.
No. Plus, he's not going to play in that game.
Even if he throws for 4,000 yards, it's not a very impressive 4,000.
So this brings us to the annual home finale against the Rams. And
we were at that game last year, and it was a struggle for you guys.
Yeah. And if my prediction holds true, this is between the first and second place teams in the division coming in there, as it has been, you know, a couple years previously. So, I don't know, man.
Given your division, this could be a race for first place in wild card.
Yep.
You never know.
Big time.
But it also depends on how the Rams play the rest of their schedule the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Sometimes they lose those weird fucking games.
Yeah.
The Rams will do that.
Yeah.
So that could be a really interesting game. That could be one of the biggest games of the year at that point.
Oh, absolutely. Without question. Without question, it's going to be a huge one. I think the Rams actually make the playoffs this year. I really do.
Should probably try and go to that game.
Yeah, we might have to make that a tradition.
Although
maybe we should make a tradition going to an earlier game so we're not freezing our nuts off in the stand. I know that sounds ridiculous. It's a couple dudes from Montana.
But it's a different cold there. I've had people come over from Seattle and say it's cold as balls here in December and January because it's more of a frigid cold. There it's a humid cold and it just bites you.
Dude, a little wind kicks
what
that up
shit,
and it just
man.
Rips right through you, man. Fucking brutal.
Well,
so,
I was underdressed because I was like, sweet, we're in Seattle. It's going to be 30 degrees.
We both were woefully underdressed for that.
That was stupid, man.
Yeah,
coffee at halftime instead of beer.
Yeah.
Not okay.
We need to do better next time. Maybe we do make that tradition. We just dress appropriately this time and not be dumb.
I mean, I would love to go to the Broncos finale, but we play the Raiders. There's not going to be a lot at stake there.
No, but it'd be fun just to watch them beat up on somebody.
Well, we're actually going to watch them beat up on the Seahawks week 2 of the preseason. So,
yeah. Fuck. No, who cares? Like, do whatever you want in the preseason. That way you could try to pay us back for crushing you guys last year in the preseason. Remember Russell Wilson's coming out partying? I don't know if you were there or if you saw that.
It doesn't matter.
That's when you knew.
Whatever.
That's when you knew. So, at the end of the day, if we finish under 11-5, I wouldn't be that shocked. I think we could easily go 10-6 this year, but that could be the best record in that division.
Yeah, because the rest of your division is going to have to play some tough games, too.
Absolutely. So,
the whole division has
and then against one another? Yeah, in... Like I said, don't be alarmed, folks, if we start out rough. You know, we have the majority of our home games in the second half of the season. You know, the de facto bye that we talked about between the Thursday and the Monday night game, and then our bye week, week 12. Yeah. It gets better towards the end of the season. You know, those last five games, like you said, are against quality opponents, but at least three out of five of them are at home.
And if you guys are that team you think you are, you're going to win a lot of these games that were in question.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's my take on the Seahawks schedule.
Fair enough.
It's one of the only things that we could really have to talk about here until freaking training camp
starts next week.
Oh, good God, I can't wait. I want some actual football news to discuss. So that's everything I got there, Jared. Right. Do you have any other questions about the Hawks?
No,
I don't think so. You care fucking less.
I'm ready to move on.
All right, well, that's it, guys. We are going to drink ourselves some more of the Bitterroot Brewing Company Nut Brown Ale, which we are going to review next, so stay tuned. We'll catch you on the flip side. All right, we're back, everybody. Welcome to the beer review segment of A Flock of Donkeys. Yeah. Today, like we just mentioned, drinking the Bitterroot Brewing Company's Nut Brown Ale.
I don't think I would have gotten that out of my mouth.
I don't. Trust me, that was a mouthful. That absolutely was a mouthful.
Bitterroot Brewing Company's Nut Brown Ale. All right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, dude, try saying it at home after a few beers. It's a struggle.
And 10 times in a row.
Yeah. This is a good beer. This is what I would like to call a gateway beer. And what I mean by that
is... Oh, it is, because it's smooth to drink, too.
When I first started drinking beer, you know, you... drink beer, you're starting to steal those random beers out of, you know, a friend's parents' fridge, you know, like, you know, things like that. You end up with, like, a Keystone Light, or, like, a Hams,
yep,
or, like, something along those lines. And, like, you
choke... once in a while.
Yeah, you choke it down, and you're like, fine. I remember when I was first introduced to a microbrew, and that first microbrew, Jared, was this beer.
Yeah.
And it's a very smooth, very mellow, I don't know, it's a full
flavor.
It's
a nutty
beer.
Flavor, too. Nut Browns have a very nutty flavor. Obviously, it's in the title.
You just like saying nutty. But, yeah.
It's good. It's one of those beers. If you like Newcastle's Nut Brown or if you like Moose Drool, this is basically the cream of the crop of the Nut Brown ales. Samuel Smith has a good Nut Brown, too, but this is right up there with it. That one's a little more bold, but this is a gateway beer.
Samuel
Smith?
It's
just so tasty.
Yeah. Are you thinking of Sam Adams?
No, Samuel Smith.
I don't know Sam Smith.
London Brewing Company.
London Brewing Company.
In London.
Are you drinking abroad now these days? Like, I don't know.
Samuel's, I've drank those for a while. They got a good
really?
Oil stuff.
Never
too.
Even heard of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go. You learned
this
a little
is,
something
new beer.
Yeah. But this is a gateway beer. This mm-hmm. is the type of beer, if you have a friend who's like, you know, that one girl who's like, I don't know if I really like beers, blah, 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 blah.
Drink
and you
this
want,
and shut up.
Yeah. If you want to start getting her into drinking beer so you can have fun again. Like, take this nut brown ale, hand it to her, she will drink it, she will like it, and you will be happy. And that's pretty much my review of the nut brown ale. So, look it up, folks. Bitterroot Brewing Company's Nut Brown Ale. Nailed that shit twice in a row. All right, folks, we'll catch you right back here with some donkey spit. Stay tuned. We are back. It is donkey spit time.
The
Jared's
best part of this
time.
Podcast.
It's half of the podcast. I can say that with some accuracy. So again, we were talking about the schedule this year for those folks who are jumping in, you know, just for the Broncos segment here. Just going over the schedule, kind of what we think of it, you know,
yeah, just
in
kind
general
of a rundown
terms,
or breakdown.
Yeah, as well as, you know, game by game. So Jared, what jumped off the page to you about this schedule in generalities, just to start? Because
well,
that's a word.
We'll chalk that one up to a word.
Okay, thanks.
The main thing about our schedule, I think, is some of the storylines that we have. You know, we got a rematch against the Ravens. We got another Manning Bowl. And then we play the Patriots again. There's a lot of shit going on. And also Peyton Manning goes back to Lucas Oil Stadium.
The house that he built.
Yeah. And so there's just a lot of storylines in this one. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be dramatized. And there's going to be a lot of bullshit surrounding all this stuff. But there's a lot of storylines in this season. I think they knew what they were doing when they made the schedule.
Well, let's be honest. We do enjoy the NFL because of the storylines. Like,
you bet.
It's a bit of a man opera.
Absolutely. Even the Manning Bowl, I'm like, yeah, we're 2-0 in those. So there are a lot of storylines. I guess another thing that stood out to me is the strength of schedule. Now, we talked about the strength of schedule earlier.
But for those who are just jumping in.
Yeah. Last year, the Broncos had one of the hardest strengths of schedule. And then when the season was over, it ended up being right in the middle of the pack. And this year, our combined record of opponents is 110 and 146, which is the easiest schedule in the NFL.
Number 32.
Number 32. But if you look at some of these teams, like the Eagles, maybe the Chiefs, some of these teams that didn't win a lot of games last year are going to be winning some more games this year.
Should be improved.
So no, I don't think the strength of our schedule is as bad as it looks. I think a lot of these teams, especially the teams in our division, which are accountable for six of those games, have gotten better.
Yeah.
So we'll see where it's at also.
I think that's a bit of a result of playing in the worst division in football.
Yeah, it is, and so
that has plays a factor into it. I think by the end of the day, you guys probably end up around the 20th hardest schedule.
Yeah, it's still 22nd. Not it's still not all that tough of a schedule, really.
When I looked at that and I saw that their strength of schedule was so low, it just brought to my attention once again that this is one of those years where things are really lining up for the Broncos, and by that I mean it's the second year of Peyton Manning and like bringing it all together. There hasn't been a lot of off-season drama unless you're an executive.
We got the same coaches. We lost the offensive coordinator, but Adam Gase, who was wanting to be pushed up into that
spot
anyways.
You've added quality players.
Yep.
The schedule is now looking pretty easy. Your division is one of the easiest football. The conference is easier, out of the two conferences.
Well, we've made some big off-season moves, too, as far as free agency goes, but a lot of the players that we've drafted in the past few years are still coming up. So.
If the Denver Broncos don't end up in the Super Bowl this year, it is one of the biggest flukes in the history of football.
It should be, as long as everyone stays healthy. I mean, yeah, but if we miss out on a couple of pieces from our team, it was a loss to an injury, I think we're deep enough to where we're still going to compete.
Oh, absolutely. And you still have the cap space, too, to go out and grab a guy.
Yep.
You talked about how you might not carry as many receivers as you had last year, but there's still, Decker goes down with an injury. You can still go out. Guess who's like on the mark? Brandon Lloyd. Guys like that.
And they may go come training camp and stuff like that. We'll see. But there's always guys available you can pick up midseason.
Sure. Sure.
So, but I don't think that's really going to be too much of an issue. I think we got a fairly easy schedule.
Yeah.
And this is the year. We're built to win this year. We have a solid team through and through. So we got to get there.
Oh, you're absolutely built to win this
we
year.
We got
to
get there.
The cards are lining up. The schedule's lining up. The stars are aligning. This should be an epic season for
everything's aligning.
It is. It's all aligning, man. I think I read somewhere in a Mayan prophecy this was the year of the Bronco, too. But
this year we got 5 primetime games. We have our first NFL kickoff game in team history. This is the third season in a row that we open up on primetime. And we have the longest active Monday Night Football streak, 22 years long. So here we go. Let's get started into week one.
Week one.
Thursday night game against the Ravens. There's been a lot of build-up to this game. Everybody knows it's coming. And, of course, we get to play them at home because the Orioles wouldn't give up the parking lot. Thanks, Orioles. So the things that I want to see in this game is I do feel we're going to win this game. I think we're a better team than the Ravens. I want to see how the Ravens' defense reacts without Ed Reed and Ray Lewis.
I think you guys are clearly the better team in this. I think this is – every year I'm always one of those that says the Ravens aren't as good as everybody thinks they are.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been years I've been right on that.
Just like
years
the Steelers. I do the same thing with the Steelers.
This is one of those years where you say you lose a Ray Lewis, you lose an Ed Reed. I don't care who you bring in. Anquan Boldin's gone. And the big loss to me that I think in that linebacking core is Darnell Ellerby. Woo, that was tough.
How many E's are in that?
Too many. too many. And because he was the guy that I think could have stepped in for Ray Lewis and played well. He played
well.
Yeah,
and I think he covered up a lot of ground, too, in Ray Lewis.
Exactly.
Had gotten older.
Exactly.
I think he was underrated on that team.
I mean, they do bring in Elvis,
Yeah, that's another part of this game that I really want to see is how we contain Elvis, how well he does.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not rooting against him. Yeah, I'm rooting against him. Fuck it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I want to see. This rematch is just killer, man. This is the best week one matchup there is in the NFL this year. This is the best week one matchup.
Yeah, and I mean, this game had to, or the way the season ended had to
still
left
stings.
A better, yeah.
I haven't even rewatched it yet.
Really?
I have not rewatched that fucking game.
You've not rewatched it yet?
I don't want to just bum myself out.
I rewatched the Falcons game maybe about a month ago. And
yeah, I just don't need to.
I was okay.
I'll rewatch it after we spank him in Mile High this year. That's when I'll re. No, I won't. I still won't. I'll never watch that game.
It's dead to you?
Yeah.
Okay. But this game's huge. I think you guys. We talked earlier about teams being a little more fired up than others. I think this is going to be one of those games where you're just
at home to open the season. against all these expectations that I think that we're actually keeping under control because we got veterans who know how to do it.
Yeah.
The part that worries me is I want to see how Flacco can continue this run. You know, he played great in the postseason, mm-hmm. played really well in the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. and I think he finally showed the flashes of being that great quarterback that franchise wanted him to. So now at this point, this is the only time I've seen him do it for this sort of duration. I want to see if he can make it last into another season, if he's actually this guy, or he just strung together five games.
I think we already know the answer to this question, Jared. You look at Joe Flacco's performances over the last three, four seasons. Mediocre at best during the regular season, excellent in the playoffs. Now, I'm not saying that he's a bad quarterback. I think his playoff resume speaks for itself. He's excellent in the playoffs. When the stakes get higher, his game increases. But in the regular season, the guy is practically abysmal. And I just...
He makes horrible decisions. We went to Baltimore and played him and ate him up. God, he just makes the stupidest decisions. And then he'll be in the playoffs and he'll just fucking nickel and dime you to death. Hit you deep. Whatever he wants.
Absolutely. I think this is a game you guys win by 10 points.
Yeah, I'm expecting us to kind of beat the shit out of these guys. But that's a homer's view also.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't see how we can lose this game at this point.
Yeah.
I don't see how that's going
to
happen.
Yeah, but I can't wait for that game.
I don't know if this rematch means more to the fans or to the players. I don't know. It stings both.
That's a good question. I don't know.
I mean, my buddy Scott's a Broncos fan. I haven't even talked to him since the Ravens game.
You couldn't. You couldn't. And, yeah, we may have to talk to our buddy Peter, who is unfortunately a Ravens fan.
We'll have a conversation with him.
Yeah, but I think that's a win.
Yep. So let's move on to week two at the Giants.
Gotcha.
You know, same thing that we talked about with the Seahawks playing them. You just don't know what Giants team is going to come out, especially the beginning of the season. Who knows? Another storyline game, Manning Bowl, but Peyton Manning's 2-0. I don't think Eli's going to finally beat his brother.
I think you have the superior Manning.
I think we do.
And
the superior team at this point, too. I think their pass rushers are older.
Oh, without question. That's a win.
So, and I don't know what the Giants are going to be, but I don't think they're going to be the caliber as the Broncos are, so I think we win that game, too.
Yeah.
So we're starting out 2-0. And then, another primetime game, week three, we've got the Raiders. At Mile High.
Okay.
Yeah, first divisional game at home of the season. And it's a Raiders team that, you know, we talked about in the last podcast, our divisions, and the Raiders team, they're getting better. They got a lot better. But they're not going to come into Mile High and push us around.
Not even close. I don't see Matt Flynn tearing you guys limb for them.
Nope, I don't either. And it'll be interesting to see how he does. This will be our first take at him, and we'll see.
We'll see how Darren McFadden looks. Yep. I think he's an amazing talent, if healthy.
He just can't stay healthy.
But at that point in the season, he ought to be on the field, don't you think?
I think so. But the Raiders are just a team that doesn't stack up as far as the caliber of team that we have.
No.
So, 3-0.
3-0.
Week 4, the Eagles. Chip Kelly. This is the reason that I like this game early on in the season.
Yeah.
Because we had talked about before the difference in styles of play between what's coming up in the NFC and what's mm-hmm. trending and what's going on in the AFC. The AFC is trying to keep a lot of these pocket quarterbacks. The NFC is going more to this passer who can run.
Sure.
And this will give us our first look at Michael Vick in this NFC flashy style of play.
Yeah.
So it'll kind of give us a template as far as what to expect later on in the season when we play more of these guys, like RG3.
Yeah.
And maybe furthermore, you guys in the Super Bowl. So I think it'll give us our first taste of what to expect from the other side of the conference.
This is a fascinating game to me. Mm-hmm. And because of the contrasting styles of play, which you alluded to, but a lot of people just want to throw Mike Vick under the bus and say that he's completely done. This is a guy.
I don't think so.
I don't think he's done. I think when they actually had, you know, an offensive line, he played pretty goddamn well.
When he could get protection.
You know, part of it is he does run himself into trouble. That is something you can't dispute.
Well, you came up with a stat. How long did he hold the ball for?
Oh, it was a ridiculous amount. Yeah.
But a lot of the time, it's like 7 seconds or some shit like that. But a lot of the times, he was running for his life right when the ball was snapped.
Yeah.
That offensive line couldn't figure out freaking Tetris on level one.
Yeah, and I want to say, that Chip Kelly offense, I read something, and I want to say it was something like 1.7 seconds to 3 seconds was the average time that a quarterback held the ball in that offense. It's a quick trigger thing. You know,
and one Mike Vick's got a cannon, so I think that's an asset to him.
You make simple decisions. You're running it in keeping the defense from rotating guys in, which I think will keep some pressure off of Mike Vick because they're running at such a fast pace.
Yep.
You know,
they got LeSean McCoy still.
Yeah, they still got Shady.
It's going to be an interesting game. I don't fear it as much because it's at home, if it was in Philly, I'd be like, that's one of those games. You don't know. We could go on the road and just lay an egg. You never know.
I think Philadelphia is the wild card team this year.
I really do. Definitely. I think so, too.
They got rid of an offensive guy as their defensive coordinator. I think that's going to help them.
I'm not a rocket scientist. That's not a good idea in the beginning. That's another story.
Yeah. But
what the hell?
That's so, a dogfight.
Yeah, it is. And I think at home, just because Chip Kelly's new to the NFL, they're still going to be trying to figure this out. I think we win that game.
We got
the personnel to get that game done.
I think you do win. I think it's a close one.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah.
Could be. So then week 5, we go down to Texas and play the Cowboys. Gotcha. Tony Romo's good. But, again, I don't see where their defense is going to be all that great this year, the Cowboys.
No, this is a team that continues to regress. Basically,
slowly. It's a slow regression. Sure. It's just...
Remember when the Raiders went to their last Super Bowl, and then it just was like, I mean, they were pretty bad the next year, but you still had talent, things like that. You always kind of expect them to bring it back together, do a little bit, and be competitive, and you know they'd have little flashes, but they slowly eroded down to just putrid, to legitimately putrid.
Well, and that was when you had Dez Bryant. Who knows about those?
And
guys?
That's when you had an old owner that was the GM that still thought he knew what he was doing. And he runs a team in the ground. I think that's exactly what's happening to the Dallas Cowboys.
You say Jerry Jones is Al Davising the Cowboys?
Absolutely.
Another bold prediction. Not too. I guess you're probably right there. They're slowly regressing, and they're just kind of getting left behind.
Just absolutely. And you know they lock up Romo to the big contract. I don't know that you have another option. I think at that point, it's
who are you going to do that's better?
Who are you going to do that's
Who are you going to get that's better?
Jared, that's a question I ask myself every Saturday night. Who am I going to do that's better? Yeah.
Oh, man. But his offensive weapons, Miles Austin, I think, has regressed.
Yes. He's a number two.
Oh, clearly. And then Dez Bryant's so much of a head. Who knows? The guy's got all the talent in the world.
Could be the best receiver in the league if he could put it together.
He could be, but I don't know if he's going to put it together. Jason Witten's a year older.
DeMarco Murray... He's a good running back. He really is. Mm-hmm. But again, if healthy. And, you know, health is a part of talent. And if you can't stay on the field, that's it. I mean, what week is this again where you're...
This is week 5. So even if he is healthy, I think a lot of people have seen the trend of the Cowboys going down. I think they're still living off of that America's Team dynasty kind of thing. And that's where their popularity is at. And so a lot of people are going to disagree with me when I say the Cowboys are still regressing. But I just don't see them as a team that got better this offseason.
They're 7-9, 8-8 to me.
Yeah, 7 or 9.
Either or. No, no.
Yeah, so I don't see that as an incredibly challenging game.
Yeah.
You know, it's the NFL. They're all challenging games, but when it comes down to it, I think that's a good
game. Right, if you're, yeah.
Even, our week 6, Jaguars, it's a challenging game.
Sure.
But when it comes down to X's and O's, I think we're going to execute better
than professional also, football players. It's not like you're going out there against a 1AA school or something, you know.
And that's another game that's at home, so... That's a winnable game against Jacksonville.
So
Del Rio's not losing that game.
No. Del Rio's not losing that game. We talked a little bit, earlier about the Jaguars, since they're coming to the clink as well this year. That's an easy one.
Blaine Gabbert, yeah, come on.
Done.
Yeah. But yeah, who's
are
they going to beat?
Yeah, I don't have a lot to say about that.
Yep. So our third storyline already in this season is on Sunday night, we go to Lucas Oil Stadium.
I want to watch that game.
Yeah, that's going to be a good game. Rightfully so, it should be on a Sunday night.
Without question. We were
talking about the Colts before. You know, they're the team that was 11-5 last year. They probably rode that Chuck Strong thing a little longer than everybody expected. You know, I thought they could do 11-5 this year, maybe again, because I think Andrew Luck's the real deal. But I think a 10-6 team. And I don't think Manning's losing that game. He's going to get a standing ovation. He's going to be the center of attention. I think he's going to shine in the spotlight. I think that's going to be one of his best games of the season.
Look, we talked earlier about this. I think the Colts are going to aggress a little more than you do. Mm-hmm. Just come back to the mean. But this is Peyton's house. This is Peyton's house.
Yeah. This is where they're going to have a statue of him in front of the building.
There's no effing way he is losing this game. You don't think that he's even just a little bitter? That they let him go?
He is bitter, but he still, he still loves the fans there.
Oh,
he still loves the stadium. He loves the ownership there, but he does have that little bit of bitterness about the whole thing.
He's giving Jim Irsay a little bit of an F you in this game.
I think he's gonna destroy the Colts that game.
Yeah.
I think they were just gonna take the reins off, be like, Peyton, this is completely your game. Do what you want to here.
That'll be a fun game to watch. I think Von Miller gives Andrew Luck fits all game. Yeah, that'll be fun. I'm glad that's a Sunday night game.
Me too.
Deservedly so.
Yep, it needs to be a primetime game. And man, I really can't wait to see how the fans are. It was almost like the MLB All-Star game last night when you're seeing all the people react to Mariano Rivera.
Yeah.
It's going to be that sort of thing where you know that nobody's going to freaking boo him.
No.
Not a single person's going to boo him.
No.
They love Peyton Manning.
Of course.
He gave him a Super Bowl win and a crap load of winning seasons.
What another Super Bowl appearance?
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, he's Peyton fucking Manning.
It'll be a good thing to watch, you know.
Yeah.
If there's a heartwarming story in the NFL, this will be it.
It'll be the Peyton Manning Love Fest.
It will.
You know.
Then I'll be a part of that.
But, yeah, I'm watching that game, though, for sure.
Yep.
So, after traveling to Indianapolis,
we get another home game.
Okay.
Another storyline. Mike Shanahan comes back to town.
Ooh, against the
Redskins. So, I love this game for two reasons. It's because I love Mike Shanahan. He's going to get a standing ovation in Mile High. You know, it's the first time he'll come back since he left.
Yeah.
And we were all pretty offended when he was let go in the first place. So,
yeah.
The fact that he comes back, I'm looking forward to seeing his red-ass face in Mile High Stadium again.
No pun intended with the teammate.
No, I actually didn't mean that, but that's how it went. And another thing...
Racist.
This is another game against that NFC running quarterback style that I want to see.
Yeah.
You know, after seeing the Eagles, another test will be against the Redskins. It's just going to be a template for what we're going to do come the Super Bowl when we make it there.
Yeah. Well, an RG3 ought to be healthy by this point, like fully healthy and ready to rock and roll.
Yep.
Yeah, it'll be...
I can't wait to have Shanahan back in Mile High.
Yeah, I think you beat the Redskins.
Yep. I think so, too, of course, especially at home.
Yeah, because it's at home.
That's not going to be where Shanahan comes back into his house and beats his team.
It's not his house anymore.
No, he's not going to freaking Peyton Manning the Colts.
No.
So
I just don't see the Redskins' DBs holding up to Peyton Manning.
No.
I mean, what, Josh Wilson, and I can't think of their other starting corner for the life of me right now. I'm pretty sure it's not Fred Smoot anymore. But
they got that Morris dude, a running back, who runs just like Terrell Davis, which is interesting.
Yeah, that is true.
And he's good, man. I am sold on that guy. He is fucking good.
Without question, he's one of those backs that I think works really well in that Shanahan running system.
But we also got some mammoth defensive tackles this year that are going to kind of sew
up. I don't think they push you guys around, you know?
I don't think so either.
You know, Trent Williams may punch a guy after the game. You know, you never really know. But
I'm looking forward to playing RG3, though. I'm looking forward to the contrasting styles yet again. Because that'll be a good test week 8.
It's a little bit of, you know, past versus future.
Yeah.
You know, all that.
Or maybe even not future, maybe just phase. Just a phase. Because how many more of these running quarterbacks are you really going to see? They come and go. Just like these freak tight ends, they may not continue to come.
Yeah, you just happen to have a run of that kind of athlete enter the league.
It happens.
Those genetic freaks don't come along.
No.
You know, all that often.
It was just like the quarterback class of 83. They all had good arms. You know, but that doesn't happen all the time.
Genetic freaks.
Yep.
You know, so.
So then after we face Shanahan, after we've gone through all these freaking storylines of the first 8 weeks, we got a bye smack dab in the middle of the season.
That's kind of nice.
A week 9 bye, yeah. Because with all that shit going on, you know, with the rematch against the Ravens, the Manning Bowl, you know, Peyton Manning going back to Indy, Shanahan coming to town, I think we need a break.
And having a lot of veterans on your team, that early bye week is probably a good thing.
We're going to need to heal
up. Yeah, get him healed up early.
Yep.
You can reduce minutes for the second half of the season if need be, you know, depending on the position, obviously. You're going to play, you know, all Peyton all the time.
Yeah, he ain't coming out.
But
until the Raiders week 17.
It could be the Brock Osweiler show.
That's gonna
that
be
could
a Brock
be a Terrell Pryor.
Terrell Pryor Brock Osweiler game.
Be interesting. But
so we come out of the bye week and we go to San Diego to face the Chargers.
Ah, the San Diego Superchargers.
Yeah, I think Philip Rivers is going to play way better than he did last year.
I don't think there's any
way he won't be able to.
A lot of people have thrown dirt on his career. It's over. I'm not ready to do that. I don't think his body is as broken down as, say, like a Carson Palmer.
No, not at all. He hasn't gotten hit too many times.
I mean, he's been rocked, but, you know, that Norv Turner system, it's been played for so many years. I think teams had just had it completely figured out. I think he was just going to struggle. You know?
He was pulling that system through the mud.
I think Mike McCoy is going to bring a lot more innovative things to this.
Yeah.
He's going to have an elevated year. I truly believe
it. I think so, too. But not against the Broncos, because we're going to flush him out. And we've all seen Philip Rivers try to throw on the run. It looks awkward.
Dude, that guy.
It's like Tom Brady scrambling. It just looks like it shouldn't. You shouldn't be happening on screen. Oh. Yeah, you should. Don't do that, Phillip Rivers. Don't run.
I mean, or try and throw. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do, but
like, his coordination just doesn't do that.
No, he looks a lot like me trying to throw at all. Like that's it's kind of like an unfolding lawn chair. It's pretty bad.
And the Chargers run game. You know, you lost Luis Vasquez. Mm-hmm. He's in Mile High now. You're still banking on Ryan Matthews?
I'm not.
And Monty Te'o? Really?
Yeah, well, we've...
Good luck. We've covered that. So, okay, we've talked a lot about the Chargers. Next up is the Chiefs, so a couple divisional games in a row. This is the first time we play the Chiefs, and it's at home.
So you get the Chiefs twice late in the year.
Twice in 3 weeks.
That's an interesting game.
This always happens with the Chiefs. We always play them close really? Quarters. Yeah.
Interesting.
So we play them at home. Of course, well, we talked about them on the last podcast, too. You know, Alex Smith is there. Andy Reid's there. It's a much improved team, and their secondary is awesome. I don't think that's going to be an easy game. I think the Chiefs are going to be good this year.
Is that at Arrowhead, or is that at
home? This one's at home first. I'm glad we get to play them at home.
Yeah, that way you get a feel for, you know, what they're doing this year, you know, under the new coaching, all of those things at home. You know, you have that little bit of advantage to push you over the hump if you need it. I would imagine that's a win.
I do, too. It's going to be a tough game. I'm not going to say we'll run away with this, but we could even beat them by 3 points. I don't know. But I think the Chiefs are much improved. Their secondary is good. I think their running game will be okay. But with Alex Smith, I think they're better. And Andy Reid, they have to be a better team this year.
Chiefs are trying to claim that they have the best secondary in the league. No. There's a lot of people saying that.
Well, of course there are. We'll find out week 8 who's got the best secondary in the league. They'll be tested by then.
I don't need to wait till week 8. They don't have the best secondary in the league. It's not even close.
Well, they were saying this last year how they had such a good team too, and then you know they ended up going 2-14.
No, they had an awesome team last year. You know, 2-14.
Matt Castle gets you 2 wins.
God.
So then after that, we go on primetime Sunday night to Foxborough, play the Patriots. The Patriots, who I don't know if Bill Belichick can overcome all this shit.
Peyton's house of horrors, though.
Jesus.
Yeah. No. This is. This could be the unravel season for the New England Patriots.
I don't think there's only. I mean, Belichick's Hall of Fame coach. I mean, there's no better in the NFL. But how can you deal with this shit? Gronkowski's probably going to be out.
Speaking of Gronkowski, I read something today where he said he would totally fuck Tim Tebow just to take his virginity. Which I thought would be hilarious.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that shit's funny to me.
So there are times in a coach's career where they do just need to move venues. They need to start over.
The message becomes stale.
Yeah, and you can no longer keep control over your organization like you want to.
Andy Reid's a good example of that.
It is. And so he moved over, and that's why I think the Chiefs are competitive this year, another reason. So I don't fear the Patriots as much as I did before, and I think really the Ravens exposed everything they had to against them last year.
Yeah,
I mean, the Ravens pushed them around the field. Patriots did not have an answer in that playoff game.
The model to beat the Patriots has been out there for years now. It's either rough up the receivers
or get to Tom Brady
with, you know, multiple changes on the defensive line, you know, bringing in fresh bodies play after play after play. And one of the ways they tried to combat that was go closer to that Oregon style of offense where you can't rotate guys in. But if they're going to rotate guys in and play that fast, then you beat the shit out of their mediocre receivers. Yep. And Without a trained killer at tight end, I mean, I don't know.
Or Wes Welker?
Yeah, no Wes Welker.
Well, this is Wes Welker's return to Foxborough.
Oh, yeah.
Another little storyline there.
That's true.
So, I don't fear the Patriots as much just because I think we got the pass rushers to get to Tom Brady, and we got the coverage guys to get it done on their mediocre receivers. As far as is safeties to cover their half-assed tight ends. Yo, Daniel Fells is good. I think he'll be all right. But do you have a Gronkowski? Hernandez is going to be in jail.
I don't know if Tebow is that good at tight end. But
he might be.
Look, it just depends whether Wes Welker will have a good game or not. Like, you
whatever.
Know. Oh, come on. You got to
I'm
hit.
Looking right over that one.
Yeah, you're not. He's doing defense commercials.
Week 13 is we go to Arrowhead. So here's a fun fact. We won the last 3 out of 4 at Arrowhead.
What?
Yeah. It's going to be a different story this year. I mean, I'm not questioning whether we'll win, but this is going to be a tough game.
I think you guys lose this game.
No.
I do.
No. We're not going to lose this game. We could, but it's not going to happen. There's always a chance.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't think we lose this game.
I mean, how many wins in a row did we just rattle off for you guys there?
All the wins.
And, you know, there comes a point where, you know, division rival, all that stuff, it starts to add up. I think this is the game that you guys lose.
Could be. I disagree, though that's really accurate. I don't know. It's going to be a close game. It's going to be one of those tough ones, and we're going to have to stomach another sea of red on our television screens for another week.
That doesn't burn my eyes that bad.
I hate it.
Yeah.
It's like somebody menstruated all of it.
I think you and my dad need to come up with a bet for this game.
Oh, yeah. Fucking Chiefs fan.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So now we're going to week 14. The Texans, I don't know if they're better than 6-10 this year. I don't know if they really are. And they're coming to Mile High. We've won 3 out of the last 4 against them.
You mean the Titans?
Titans, that's what I meant.
Okay.
So, yeah. Texans are definitely not a 6-10 team.
Yeah,
we play the Titans, so I'm just going to skim over this one. I don't think they pose a threat to us at all.
Yeah, at Mile High, done and done.
Yeah, sorry.
What else you need to know?
Go back to Tennessee.
Yep.
So, week 15, the Chargers again on Thursday Night Football.
In San Diego.
Wait. I got this all... No, this one's at home. The first one was in San Diego.
Oh,
so this one's at home.
Your circle looked like an at symbol to me. Okay, I got you. Yeah,
that's just a primetime game.
Okay,
and we beat them 5 out of the last 7 times in Denver.
Yeah,
I just don't see us losing a game against the Chargers. Though it's late in the season, you never know whatever the season's held for us. Whether we have no losses or whether we have 2 or 3, we'll see how we're playing and where our losses were at this point in the season to see how we play against the Chargers. But still think we win that game.
I do too.
I think the toughest game of the season we have is week 16 against the Texans, but I'm glad it comes late in the season. I don't want easier games like we have against the Raiders late in the season. I don't want a bunch of those. So it's good that we have a good test against the Texans week 16.
That is true. You know, to get your team mentally prepared for the playoffs, you know, to have some quality opponents.
Yeah.
You know, teams are probably playing for something. You know, I would imagine the Texans are still playing for
and the Texans could be advantage. One of the best teams in the AFC at that point. It's nice to play them and see where you're at.
Sure. I mean, it's just like playing the Ravens towards the end of the year last year where you dominate them. It was a giant predictor of what was going to happen in the playoffs.
Fuck off. I like playing a high-caliber team late on the season. That feels good.
Agree with that.
That's good stuff. And so last week is against the Raiders. We'll be seeing Brock Osweiler.
We should see Brock at that point. I'm excited for that.
Me too.
You might lose that game because nobody gives a fuck.
No, we're still not going to lose that game.
Because let's be honest, you're going to have the number one seed in AFC locked up by week 17.
That's the week I want to see Sebastian Janikowski kick a 75-yard field goal.
Dude, if you're a Raiders coach and you're anywhere within 65 yards of a field goal,
just boot it.
Just fucking boot it. More times than not, he's going to make that.
Especially when you're going 4-12 in a season. At what point during that season, when you're on the 50-yard line, you're like, just fucking kick it.
Give it to Seabass.
Just kick it.
I would. I absolutely would. I mean, not only is it your best chance to win the game, because I don't think you're going to move the ball that well as an Oakland Raiders offense, but I just want to see him just boom one. You know, especially in Mile High.
I want to see what he's got. Oh, this one's in Oakland.
Oh, this one's in Oakland?
Yeah,
okay.
The one before we play them.
Well, I want him to do it there, too.
Yeah, I want him to kick them all over the place.
Let him kick it away. Yeah.
I want to see a 75-yard field goal.
He better be a Hall of Fame kicker at the end of his career. But they better
he
put
will
him
because
in.
He's going to play until he's 50.
I would.
He's got a boot, man, and he's getting older, but nobody talks about him. He just keeps going.
Yeah. Just keeps drinking beer and showing up to the games.
That's all. Just make sure he shows up on Sunday. That's all you got to do with Janikowski.
I truly despise the Raiders, but I actually really love Sebastian Janikowski.
I do too, man. Talk about the most perfect job in the world. You know you got this leg. You get to come in fat, out of shape, because you're like a John Kruk kind of guy. You just shift that shit around and you pound the ball.
It's the theory of weight transference.
It is.
You just get it kind of rolling back. And
then he rocks it. And then he rocks it. So
I tell you what, Jared, I have a daughter. If I ever am fortunate enough to father another child, and it's a boy, I'm going to train that boy to be a kicker. it is the most choicest job in the world.
It will be. And he's going to do it until he's 50.
The most choicest.
The most choicest.
Yeah.
He'll do it until he's 50, though. He's gonna be in there for a long time.
Yeah.
He'll score more points than any other kicker in the history of the NFL by the time he's done.
Agreed. Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, that's the schedule wrap up. There's a crap load of storylines. It's gonna be an awesome season to watch, just as far as all this stuff unravels and, you know, our rematch and all this other stuff, Shanahan coming back. It's gonna be a great season to watch.
Looking at your schedule, I think you have 4 losses or less.
Yeah,
and,
me too. 4 at the most.
Like I said,
I think it'll be another 13-3 or even 14-2 kind of season. You know, you're going to lose those random games.
Sure.
But
the inexplicable ones, you know.
But it also, if we are that Super Bowl team, though, we beat the teams like the Texans and the Patriots and the Redskins. And if we're going to have an undefeated season, this would be it. I don't want to.
You're not going to.
Because that's terrible. But Nothing happens. Nothing good happens from an undefeated season.
You're not going undefeated this year.
Good.
Well, every team could. The Cleveland Browns.
No, that's not true. Not every team could.
Statistically, they could. Like,
no, I don't. I disagree with that.
Yeah.
No. No way.
I'm not saying it's likely. I'm just saying that statistically,
we got a pretty good chance. There's a pretty good chance we go undefeated.
A pretty good chance.
Yeah. What else do you want?
I think you have. Well,
Who's got a better chance in the NFL this year of going undefeated than we do, given our schedule?
Give me a percentage as to your chance to go undefeated. Define pretty good.
I don't know. I would say there's like a 60% chance we could go undefeated.
Whoa!
Yeah, it's almost impossible to go undefeated, but look at our schedule. If we're this Super Bowl team, we beat these teams.
You just said it's almost impossible to go undefeated. That's why undefeated.
Undefeated.
Because
that 40% chance could come up.
That's why I would give it a 30% chance, because it's that hard to do. And I think 30% is a mediocre chance.
But even those years that we had John Elway and we won two Super Bowls, we didn't have this good of a defense then. I don't think we've ever had more talent on a single football team than this year's Denver Broncos.
Oh, I'm not saying that you guys aren't clearly the best team in the AFC.
We could argue this forever.
True. But we're not going to, because I'm right. But but the point being,
but there's a good chance
you're going to have a hell of a record one way or another. You're getting the
we're
going to
win
one
the
seed.
AFC division. We're going to have a bye the first week. See where we're playing.
Broncos are going to the Super Bowl this year, Jared. Yep. And I would say that whether or not we did this podcast, I would say this whether or not you were a Broncos fan. It's when I put my football objective goggles on, you guys are going to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. It was just like picking the Patriots for all those years.
We just
got the team that should go there.
Yeah. I mean, on paper, which is always a dangerous statement.
And then we'll see you guys in the Super Bowl.
And then it's on like Donkey Kong. in this podcast lasts precisely one season. Well, folks, I think we're going to wrap everything up with that. Couple things, if you have any thoughts on the schedule or you think we're off base on any of this or any of that, shoot us an email. It's afodpodcast@gmail.com, afodpodcast@gmail.com.
Let us know what you think.
Let us know what you think. Also, you can find us on Facebook, A Flock of Donkeys. That's Dale. D-O-N-K-I-E-S. You know, the Canadian spelling, which we discussed before. Find us on there. Like us. It's a good time.
Yep.
We put up little things on there now and then that ought to make you chuckle.
Check
it out, folks. Otherwise, I think we're going to sign off here. And with that said, Jared, there's only one other thing to say.
In Johns we trust.